Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're going to talk about Christians and the Kingdom of God. People are always saying, well, is he a Christian? Or, yes, I'm a Christian. Or they have surveys and say, so many people per capita are Christians or professing Christians. And it's a lot easier to be a professing Christian than it is to be a Christian, in my opinion. There's a lot of people going around saying they're Christians. There's thousands of denominations of Christianity, and there's millions upon millions upon millions of people claiming to be Christians. But the world's in quite a mess, and I don't think it would be in the mess it was in if they were really Christians. When I hear people say that they're a Christian, or I think of an ego manchoya. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. Christian, by definition, should be someone who is following Christ, who believes in Christ. If you believe in Christ, you would follow Christ. And I don't think a lot of the people who think they're Christians really know Christ. They say they've accepted Christ, but they don't really know Christ. They don't really know what he was all about. Oh, they have some memorized or repetitious phrase they use, or Christ is the Son of God, he is the Savior, he is the Messiah, etc., etc. But that doesn't really know who he is. Like the story I tell often of my son, who I gave him several books to read on George Washington when he was pretty little, about 8. And they were just little books. And I realized when he gave his book report, oral book report on George Washington, he didn't really know who he was. I mean, the fact that he was married to Martha doesn't tell you who he was. The fact that he was a general at one time doesn't tell you who he was. The fact that he was the president of the United States, whether you think he was the first or the seventh, is irrelevant. That doesn't tell you who he is. Not really who he is. I mean, knowing somebody's name, George Washington, doesn't tell you who he is. It's just a nomenclature, label that you put on him. It may be who, you know, it may be a way in which you identify him, but it really doesn't tell you who he is. There's a lot of stuff in the news recently about national ID. Of course, you have to have government ID in order to fly on planes. And ID means identification. It's the way in which you tell who you are to satisfy someone at TSA so that you can get on an airplane, or satisfy a police officer who stops you on the street. But that doesn't really tell who you are, except for the fact that it is evidence of who you are. But it's not conclusive. It really doesn't tell about you as a person, as an individual, except for the fact that you went somewhere and got one of those government IDs. So who are you? Who is Christ? Would Christ go get a government ID? Christ said his kingdom was not of this world, and we know that that word world means constitutional order or system, government. So his kingdom was not of this world when he was talking to Pontius Pilate, not of Pontius Pilate's world, constitutional order or system of government. So he probably would not have gone and got an ID from Pontius Pilate if Pontius Pilate was handing out IDs, and actually they were. A lot of people don't realize there was a very, very effective, significant ID system operating in the Roman Empire. In Judea itself had an ID system. It was a Hebrew name that was registered with the scribes that you got when you got baptized by the ministers of the government building they called the temple at Jerusalem. And the reason you got that ID stone was to, it was a little stone with that name carved on it. And Hebrew letters have a numerical value to them. And so literally that had your number on it, on that stone. And you used that stone to identify yourself. It was a white stone that they often got out of the Jordan River, and they'd carve this, you know, maybe three-letter or four-letter name on it. And then you would identify yourself as so-and-so of such-and-such a place, and you would be written down in a book, and they would know who you are, and you could obtain benefits through the temple treasury, which is sometimes referred to as the gastophone, but also referred to it as the Corban in the Bible. They don't, when you translate it, the Hebrew word was Corban, which is from the, actually in the Greek text, you see the word Corban, which is from the Hebrew word Corban, but it's translated treasury in one place in the Bible. In another place, they just put in the word Corban, and nobody seems to know what that means, but Christians didn't have access to that Corban anymore. And they tell us that in John. And any real scholar of biblical studies should know this and pass this on. But it's not politically correct. It's not religiously correct. They don't, in the politics of religion, it's not correct to tell you what Corban was. Corban was your sacrifice given to a network of ministers that they used to call Levites to take care of the social welfare of Israel so that the people would be bound by faith, hope, and charity. Christians went back to that system of free will offerings to take care of the needy of themselves, their society. They call that charity. They call that the Eucharist of Christ, Thanksgiving. To take care, they called it pure religion. James calls it pure religion. How you take care of the needy of your society. This is what Christians were doing. And the Christians did not go to Herod. They did not go to Agrippa. They did not go to Caesar and say, we're hungry. We need help. We need food. And we want you to give us some because we hear that you're a benefactor, that you call yourself a benefactor. And if you went to Herod's temple, before you got that benefit, you'd have to pull out that white stone. Now, if you'd lost it, I'm sure there was a way in which they would just go to the scribes, who were the accountants, that's what it means, the registers, and they would see if you were registered. And if you were eligible for the benefits you were asking for, the free bread, the reward, as it says sometimes in the Bible, that you were asking for. And they had a whole system, and they had an ID system to make sure you were who you say you are. And it was a government of the people by the bureaucrats, for sometimes the people and sometimes the bureaucrats. You know, it was interesting that years ago I was studying the archaeology of Israel and Jerusalem. I was always fascinated with anthropology and archaeology and geology. It's a way in which the imprint of history is left for us to go and read, and many people go and read them, but some people don't. Again, it comes back into what is politically correct. Amongst archaeologists, certain things, you know, you find, archaeologists find evidence of things all the time that are not taught in colleges, and you don't want to bring that evidence up. It's pointing to the fact that societies have not been progressively getting more and more sophisticated. They've actually gotten sophisticated and went downhill, and then went up again and went downhill. And we don't want that. We want to see a progressive evolution of society. And so the idea that there was once a more prosperous, a better educated, a better, more sophisticated society, a more successful society, and it degenerated into something else, is not what archaeologists want to hear. They want to hear a general progression that we're smarter than our ancestors. And so you get the idea that everybody back in the days of Romans were walking around in loincloths and sandals, and yeah, they did some interesting things. They did unbelievable things. Amazing, the accomplishments. You know, the idea of boats the size of Noah's Ark, they built lots of them. Huge, giant things, thousands of passengers, hundreds of years before Christ. Carrying tons and tons and tons of cargo, plying across the Mediterranean during the Sea King era and afterwards. Boats you see in many of the movies that are supposed to be, you know, the Roman boats, everything, they're actually not nearly the sophistication that Rome had once enjoyed in its seafaring days. Whole armies would be on one boat, gigantic things, flying through the sea. Now, they didn't have Blu-ray VCRs and or DVDs, so they lacked certain technology, but they did some things that we have yet to match. I mean, how'd they build the pyramids? That is a hot debate. How did, you know, some of the steels they came up with and some of the other things that they came up were, with low technology were amazing. The craftsmen were amazing. But we don't want to know about that. Some people do study that now and they find it very amazing. I mean, they find complex clockworks at the bottom of the sea that were dropped there thousands of years ago, encrusted. And these were so complex, they were actually monitoring the rotation of the planets, they believe. And it was made centuries and centuries and centuries ago, and nobody understands who made it. They used to keep secret a lot of the knowledge that they were discovering because they understood that knowledge was power. But anyway, back to Jesus in Christianity and what Christianity really was. One way of determining what something was is to determine what it is not. And you'll hear me in many of the other recordings, in our string theory recordings, we talk about spiritual DNA. Everything in the physical realm has a corresponding spiritual existence. And the spiritual realm, from our point of view, is the first realm. It is the primary realm. It is the controlling realm. It is the heart, the horse before the cart. It is what is dragging our physical realm into existence and manifesting our physical realm. It's what goes on in the spiritual realm. And so since there's physical DNA and we have people manipulating that physical DNA, I would have to believe that there is a spiritual DNA. There is something in the spiritual realm that would represent the same process that we see in physical DNA. And when people marry and they know each other, as it says in the Bible, Adam knew Eve, they produced a child. They mixed their DNA and they produced a child. Is there a spiritual mixing of DNA? Spiritual DNA? Yes, there is. That you're affected. I mean, how many people say, you know, how husbands and wives begin to look alike after years of living together? And as if we're molded by the presence of one another in our day-to-day life. Well, we are. We're molded by our associations, by our incorporations. We write a great deal about, you know, the church, the unincorporated church. And the church is incorporated. The church established by Jesus Christ is incorporated. It's incorporated with Christ. A corporation is two or more people gathered together for a particular purpose under a pre-existing authority. And the church is gathered together under the authority of Christ. If you go and incorporate under another authority, then all other previous incorporation, such as with Christ, is null and void. That's the law. And we talk about that, and we talk about it in legal terms, but we're actually pointing to a spiritual reality. That when you mix your church with the world, the constitutional orders and systems of governments created by the hand of man, you're going to change the spiritual DNA of the outcome of your communion within that church. You're going to be changed by that association, by that relationship. You're going to be altered. Your mind is going to be altered, and your body is going to be altered. Your soul is going to be altered by that relationship. And you will begin to conform to that DNA, which is not the DNA of God. It's the DNA of those men who created those institutions. So we see on the news today, Obamacare is coming in 2014. Maybe already here if you're listening to this recording much later. But the reality is the spiritual changes that are bringing about these things has already taken place. Now you're seeing the physical manifestation. And when Adam knew his wife, he still had to wait 9 months before they saw the kid. But he was already on his way. The copulation, the connection of the DNA, the change, you know, already took place. When my wife had children, many times we knew the next day that she was pregnant. There was a change instantly. But we couldn't see the kid for 9 months. And what that kid will become may take 18 years or 80 years. Who knows? The process began back there, years before, when the DNA was connected. And the same with the spiritual thing. Spiritual choices you make are setting in motion a series of events outside of your control. You no longer have authority over them. You've already made a choice over here. And now you're given over to a process. It talks in the Bible about giving over to a reprobate mind. That's because you make a choice and you're given over to that reprobate mind. You become something other than what nature would have made you. The nature of God. The God of nature. And you've altered something. And you are altered by it. And also in the news, we see where Americans, because of this Obamacare, who file income tax returns, must complete an additional IRS tax form. And this new form will require disclosure of taxpayers' personal identifying health information in order to determine compliance with the Affordable Care Act individual mandates. Now, a lot of people don't realize, they haven't read the fine print. I mean, they passed it without even reading the thing. There's a thing called DNAR. And I thought it was funny that the initials become DNAR. And what that stands for is not DNA or DNA resources, which you might think. It stands for Do Not Attempt to Resuscitate. And there are Do Not Attempt Resuscitation rules, regulations, administrative rules, and laws already coming down from House committees in different states, as well as it's wallowing around in the capital of the United States. And I'm sure in other countries that have had this, that it already exists. And I know that is, you know, they talk about it as being a real problem in some of the other longer term socialist nations. That it's called euthanasia. And there are many people today that are getting medical assistance that will be denied that medical assistance, not based upon their personal choice, not based upon the choice of someone they have given the medical power of attorney to, such as a family member, a loved one, who loves them and wants to see them live. But it's given over to the medical society, to the hospital, to doctors, to government agents who are going to control the purse strings of your health insurance, which is funded by your Corbin. Again, go back to that word Corbin. The Corbin of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect. The word of God is the vibration of God, the frequency of God, the DNA of God. It is the way in which God expresses his DNA. When Christ walked up to the apostles and breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," what he was imparting to them is the spiritual DNA. The same as God breathed on Adam and altered his DNA to fit a particular pattern. He set something in motion with his breath, with his spirit, by touching the spiritual DNA of Adam, and therefore altering Adam himself and giving him a life that he did not have before. There was a change, a moment in change, and then that proceeded through this physical realm. But it wasn't until Cain that they began to create these worlds that we see. Again, remember there are five different words translated into world in the Greek text. One of those means constitutional order and system of government that did not exist on this planet until Cain created his first city-state. Out of the presence of God. Not according to the DNA, spiritual DNA of God, but according to the desires of Cain. And we see it again in Lamech and in Nimrod and in the evil Pharaoh and in many of the Caesars. This change that's taking place. And how do Caesars operate? How do they have power? How can they be benefactors? Because they got lots of money? Well, in the case of Augustus, he did have lots of money, but he got most of his money because he conquered a bunch of other rich guys. And he took their households and their property, and he was the richest man in all of the Roman Empire. And then he began to give that away. And buy votes with that philanthropy. He gave away half of the free bread in Rome, which included acres of grain storage silos. I think over 16 acres of grain storage silos in one location alone to feed millions upon millions of people, which devastated the agriculture in Rome because it drove down the price of grain locally, so why grow it? But anyway, that's another part of the problem. We're looking at how are we changed? How are we altered as Christians? If we are really Christians following the spiritual DNA of Christ, the way of Christ, the path of Christ, the straight way, the narrow way, then we would be altered by following that path. We would be changed. And by changing our direction, repenting, turning around, that's what it means, we would be moving now according to a new path, a new way, a new spiritual DNA, and we would be changed by it. Today we are racked with disease problems in the world. And many of those diseases have to do with the identity. Your autoimmune diseases, cancer, all have to do with identity. A confusion in the DNA. Because there's a confusion in the spiritual DNA of mankind. And we're going to see if we can't clear up some of that confusion as we examine the Word of God with a new light and a new idea when we get back to Keys to the Kingdom. Thank you.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how's this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about spiritual DNA, we're talking about Christians, and we're talking about what Christians are, and we're talking about what Christians are not. And there seems to be a lot of confusion as to what they are not, as well as to what they are. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. I've had people who are actually ministers and people who think they're believers tell me that Paul changed the Gospel of Christ because the apostles were not doing it right. They were already straying. But, of course, they think they aren't straying. But the reality is they have strayed. They don't know what the apostles were doing. The apostles and Paul were talking about the same thing. Peter even says, talks about Paul, our brother, who is going to talk to you about difficult things to understand, and evidently they were too difficult for these modern Christians to get and fathom. And there are many people trying to, because of what they think Paul said, because of a simple misunderstanding, partially because they didn't understand the gospel of Christ to begin with, they think Paul is contradicting Christ, contradicting the apostles even. And actually, they're all in agreement. And they're even in agreement with Moses. Someone was just talking about somebody who was raised a Pharisee Jew, who I think he's Michael Rood's friend, and not a believer in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, but he has a great respect for Jesus Christ, because when he actually went to study and tried to help out Michael Rood with some of the things, I think it was Michael Rood anyway, some of the interpretation of some of the Hebrew scripts, that he realized that Jesus was not contradicting Moses, that he was in agreement with him. He was contradicting the Pharisees, and this fellow was raised and taught a Pharisee, but has become another kind of Jew. Is it Karak Jews? If I'm getting that right, I really don't want to get into it in too much detail, because it's been a while since I've looked at some of his material, and I won't do it justice, but you can probably look the guy up. But the reality is, Jesus and Moses were in agreement. We should know that from the biblical text in the New Testament. I mean, they're seen together talking. They're in agreement. They were not in disagreement. Jesus is quoting Moses often. When he said, love thy neighbor, he's quoting Moses. For God's sakes, pay attention. Jesus and Moses and the early Israel were in agreement, and the early Christians were doing exactly what the early Israelites were supposed to be doing. They weren't doing what they did later, like electing a king, choosing to have a king, except for the fact that they elected Christ, who was the king who would not exercise authority one over the other, but would return every man to his possession, every man to his family, so that every man would become the government of God, the kingdom of God, through faith, hope, and charity, which is the way it was intended to be from the beginning. Way back, I mean the beginning. And we equate that with Abel, who was a shepherd, but Cain, who plowed the Adama, the ground. They actually use the word Adama. There's a difference. And in us is this desire to plow the Adama, to turn and force and put things right in a row, to exercise authority, to make things right. That's not according to the spiritual DNA of God. The spiritual DNA of God lives in us, becomes a part of us if we don't turn away from it. It's like light shining and making things clear. But there's another world that goes out of the presence of the God and tries to force and control and compel and plow and create rows of things. And we see that in the evidence. I mean, when you see the armies of the Nazi Germany marching, or the Soviet Union, or any government, well, they got all the men marching in a row, in a line, in step, together, walking to the beat of the drum of the authority who is exercising control over their lives. Those people have all changed and been changed by their conformity to that central authority. And the central authority has changed because it is given power, and power corrupts. It actually gets drunk on the power. And when these systems get real big, we call them beasts. You know, bears and lions. In prophecy, that's what the way they represent these governments. And we talk about the mark of the beast. But the mark of the beast is the character of the beast. It will have a physical symbol in the world. But the reality is that that you have picked up a beast identity and then drawn into the beast system because you're compatible with it. You have decided it's okay to exercise authority over your neighbor, to rule over your neighbor, even if it requires bludgeoning your neighbor. And recently in the news, we see that somebody thought it was perfectly acceptable to sick the IRS on Tea Party members. There were already accusations many months, years even before. A former school chum of Obama who was talking about Obama suddenly became the target of the IRS. After 30 years, suddenly now he's under heavy scrutiny by the IRS. How did that happen? Because he was critical of Obama? Now, I don't want to pick on Obama. He is the product of your sloth. He has been created. His office has been created by the fact that you already, long time ago, your fathers and your fathers before them have turned away from the ways of God and have not followed Christ, or the ways of Christ, or the ways of Moses, if you're a Jew, or if you're a Muslim. You haven't been following what Moses said. You have been following teachers who twist words upside down, and with that turn you upside down, and make you not a government of God, but a government of men who become gods of you, and rule over your mind, because you thought it was okay to force your neighbor to think a certain way. And some people were thinking different than what these powerful people wanted them to think, and so they sicked the dogs on them. That now stories are coming out that Billy Graham was targeted by the IRS. Dobson was just in a story before the radio, was singled out, his institution of, you know, family, focus on the family, was singled out by the authorities' minions, by their orcs and goblins who go about terrorizing. This is really the definition of terrorism, is that where you're using, abusing governmental power to create fear in the people. You know, there were videos put out during one of the elections, I guess it was the previous election, where they were showing speeches by all the candidates, and they were just going through one candidate after another, and each one was saying terrorism, 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 terrorism. Everybody kept repeating that word. Protect us from terrorism, terrorism. Terrorism is a great threat. But it is those very people that are the terrorists. They're terrorizing you with fear. They're driving you with fear. It is the DNA of fear, the spiritual DNA of fear that is getting into you and infesting you. That was one of the things when I remember when the Twin Towers fell down, whatever caused them to fall down, and you see them collapsing. It was probably just, you know, you see these monumental buildings up there, and then suddenly they're crumbling into dust, falling into their own footprints, all the way to the ground, every I-beam slit and cut. You know, not the pancake effect where the I-beams would still be standing, but everything, not just twisted, gnarled pretzels, but cut beams bent under the weight of the everything falling in and upon it. Bizarre. But when people saw that monument disappearing, you saw in the newsreels, the people on the streets, the fear, the terror. That's altering them. That's altering their minds. But they were susceptible to being altered because they were already altered. They were already pulled over into another creation, another form of reality. They were drawn to that other form of reality. And those of you, you should all go back and listen to my talks on string theory, which you can find in our different archives. we live in two realities here, actually multiple realities. String theory allows for multiple realities, overlapping dimensions. But your spiritual reality actually can transcend those different dimensions, can touch those different realms, and be drawn one to the other. And behind some of those realms, the veil, behind one is heaven, behind the other is hell. And you are drawn towards one or the other. And it is the spiritual DNA of Christ, the spiritual DNA of God that is should be drawing you, but it's not. It's another pattern, another path. Yet many of the people who are being drawn towards the path of evil believe that they believe in Jesus Christ. They believe they are saved. They believe that they are following the ways of Christ. Love God with thy whole heart, mind, and soul. Your whole being. The love of your neighbor as yourself. But he goes on to say, but I would say love your neighbor as God loves. Purely, not out of fear, envy, jealousy, greed, vanity, lust, sloth, covetous, etc. But love, the character of love of God. You know, we've talked about love. You know, my cat loves birds. But not with the love of God, the love of Satan. Because he wants to devour the birds. He wants to dominate the birds. He wants to control the birds. He catches a mouse. He loves mice too. He will catch that mouse and he'll let it go. And he'll catch it again. And he'll let it go and he'll catch it again. He loves to catch it. But that's not the love of God. That's the love of a cat for a mouse. That's the love of Satan. He loves to control. Do you love to control? When you go to vote, do you go to vote to control your neighbor? I know some of you go to vote just to protect yourselves. You think, I have to vote because nothing else will stop them. I have to make it right. I have to fix this. We argue with people to try to convince them because we think it's important that they do what is right. And it is important. But it isn't important that you convince them. Now, you may have to tell them something. And maybe you should. But are you led by the Holy Spirit or are you led by your own desire to plow the hearts of your neighbor? You see, there's a line here. There's a direction here. And we need to go the other way. Recently, I told the story of a local shepherdess helping out here, watching the sheep while we were trying to get other things done. And they're beginning to realize that the sheep have a way of drawing your own impatience to the surface. And it's a great learning tool, which is why it was so important that David be a shepherd before he became a king, because the good king is a good shepherd, because sheep don't do well if you push them, if you force them. This is why Abel was a shepherd. He did not force his flock. He didn't hire, 20 border collies, which we refer to as black and white units, to keep his flock on the straight and narrow. And you'll see in mountainous countries, a lot of flocks where they have to go down narrow paths, the sheep will line out in a single line following that path, going from one graze to the other. And, that's what the valley of the shadow of death, that's actually a real valley, and there's narrow paths that go through that. And so the sheep have to follow those narrow paths, and the good shepherd guides them on those paths, but the sheep follow tail to nose to nose, all the way down in single file as they go through some of these narrow passages. The interesting thing is, in a whole herd of 100 or even 1,000 sheep, they follow down that path almost in the same order every time. A lot of people don't know that. You could put, as they go down that path, if you could paint a number on them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way down, you will find that they are very similar. Those numbers are very similar in order every time you go down that path. They have a social structure that most people, it's invisible to people. it actually corresponds to the same period that they show in birth. The first ones born are the leaders. And that's because their mothers are the ones who come into heat first and are bred first. Nature is very orderly. It's fractal networking. It's orderly, but in complex ways. If you begin to follow in the ways of Cain and want to exercise authority, want to compel others, you're going to change and be changed. You're not following the path. You don't really believe in Jesus as much as you need to believe in Jesus. And we are constantly being tempted. Part of us is in that realm that is headed towards destruction. To Satan, to the realms of hell, the lower realms of dog eat dog. And that's why I say, you know, they sick the dogs on them. Because they got lots of dogs. Because it's a kingdom of dogs. And the dog returns to his vomit. And the dogs return to his ways. Sacrifice of one's being for the benefit and well-being of others is a part of the DNA of Christ. Didn't he sacrifice himself for others? Didn't he come to serve others? In dealing with relationships one with the other, I often refer to the fact that we need to be willing to be crucified. Those who argue against us, those who fight against us, we have to let them do it. We don't fight against them. There's a Chinese art of fighting, a Aikido, and it's actually become more and more distorted in modern American thinking. But it's you do not resist their power. You allow them the right to use their power against you in such a way that their power now becomes your power. Most people can't understand this. They think it's leverage and you know, blocking and all that stuff. But it's actually a spiritual thing first. If you get the spiritual thing down, you will have the other automatically. You will be where you need to be. I had two people tried to grab me at the same time, and both were instantaneously thwarted. And I planned nothing. I thought of nothing. But both of them were almost incapacitated a few seconds later. Almost within the first second or two. It was a friendly thing, but it was still this. I could see there was aggression in the argument, so I said, you know, go ahead. And even though we were friends, we weren't really fighting, but there, because of the fact I often touch on subjects that get close to home, kind of pinch the heart. people would like to hit me, even though we're friends. They have no power against you. It's like you're in another realm. And they're over here in this dimension, and they're trying to hit you in the dimension you live in. But you're not in their dimension, so they can't actually hit you. You know, and I've actually had this where guys did want to hit me and were angry with me, and the same thing happened. They couldn't do it. Now, I'm not saying that it won't happen, because it isn't my power that stops them. This is what Christ was saying when he went, you don't have any power to crucify me unless it was given you. But this is where I'm supposed to go, is what he was saying. We know that from his prayers the night before. He didn't want to do this, but God wanted him to do this to show us what? The key to life is to give up life. Modern Christians want a philosophy where they're just saved. They don't have to give up anything. They can actually go to men who call themselves benefactors and pray for their daily bread from them and still claim to be a Christian, even though Christ said not to be that way. They just completely don't see that. They just gloss over it. You can show them right in the biblical text, and they just, their minds just go blank. A veil is over them. They can't see it. They're in another realm. But they say they're Christians. They keep using that word. But it does not mean what they think it means. They have gone the wrong way. They've gone the wrong path. We're supposed to repent and do His commandments and receive His eternal life. Because He said, if you want eternal life, you have to keep the commandments. You can't keep the commandments. But if you have the spiritual DNA of Christ written in your heart and in your mind, you can't hardly break the commandments. And even if you do, God will be forgiving, because He knows you're on your way back, like the prodigal son. He will keep coming out and meeting you, and He will protect you. Someone asked, what programs are we talking about when we were talking about get with the program? Somebody wrote get with the program, and I talked about this before. And he goes on to say, I am a disciple of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only program I know. I'm not sure that everybody who thinks they know that program knows that program. Program is the modern term for path. That way. That's what Christianity was called, a way. And this individual was worried about the fact that, you know, the president of the United States is supposedly a Muslim. And does it really make a difference? If you're in that realm, if you dwell in that realm and of that realm, it does. If you're in the realm of Christ, it doesn't. It's an interesting fact, interesting piece of information, but it has no effect on what you do. If somebody you know and love doesn't see something you see, and you want them to see it, how will you get them to see it? By logic? By explanation? By repetition? Or by prayer? What is prayer? Immersing yourself in the will of God and not your will for your neighbor. You have to guard against plowing your neighbor's heart. You need to guard against plowing your neighbor's heart. It is the great temptation to exercise authority over your neighbor's heart. You communicate the way of God, the Spirit of God, more by immersing yourself in that Spirit, in that forgiveness, in that patience, than by any other means. Just allowing the Holy Spirit to rule and go out and reach out and touch your neighbor, just seeing, will have a greater effect than anything you can say. Breathe in their mistake, breathe out the heart of God, and you will pass the DNA of Christ on to others and drive the enemy away with your love. We'll see you again on Keys of the Kingdom. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.